You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome to our live post-draft, post-round one of the draft stream. I'm sure we sat there looking awkward for you for a few moments, but here we are. Myself, Marcus Grant, along with Laquan Jones and Michael F. Florio. Night one of the draft is over. And how are we feeling about it, fellas?
Well, I'm feeling good. Like, I'm happy with our pick. I'm glad we didn't trade out. I'm glad we didn't do anything weird. But my friend here below me, my boy Florio, the floor is yours, man.
I mean, as a Bills fan, I don't love the trading of a pick to the Chiefs because I have nightmares of handing them Patrick Mahomes. What could possibly go wrong when you do something like that? But yeah, from a fantasy standpoint, very fun night.
Definitely a very fun night. We had a ton of things that happened. So let's kind of just run through some of the big things that went on. I mean, first off, we saw, three quarterbacks in the first three picks. That was not a surprise in the least. We knew that was going to happen. Caleb Williams going number one to the Chicago Bears, followed by Jaden Daniels at number two to the Washington Commanders. And then at number three, Drake May goes to the New England Patriots. Let's say, so for redraft, let's just say this for redraft leagues. What order are you putting them in? I think May is the clear third there. Flory, I know you were big on Jaden Daniels. Is he still your number one of those three in redrafts right now?
Redraft, it's really close between him and I'd probably go Caleb now, just looking at the weapons that he has. But I think they're both very, very similar in the sense of you'll get them. I'm thinking both outside the top 15 quarterbacks. You could get them as your QB2. And they both bring QB1 upsides. It's just different paths. Like, Caleb's would have to be like a CJ Stroud type rookie season, I think, even though I think he's a little bit better of a runner and especially a better goal line runner, could be a little sneaky over there. But I mean, look at who he's throwing the ball to. Jaden Daniels, meanwhile, he's going to do it more with his legs. I think he can run for 800 plus yards right away. The big winner here, though, and Marcus, I know you will agree with me on this, it's Terry McLaurin, because I think Jaden Daniels is already the best quarterback he's had.
I mean, absolutely. That is a big upgrade, certainly, there. You see on the screen there, we got the Chicago Bears sort of updated depth chart. We'll get to the wide receiver pick they made in a little bit, but you're looking at the cast of characters that Caleb Williams has to work with there. Very interesting, too, because before any of this started, I saw a tweet from the great Rich Rebar sort of going over the guys who were taken number one at quarterback, and guys who were taken number one at quarterback that had sort of older wide receivers to work with. And, for some of them, they weren't necessarily great. But Caleb Williams walks in before anything else happened. He walked into a room with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. The best on that list that I saw that Rich Rebar put together was Carson Palmer when he was drafted. Now, mind you, he missed his rookie year, but or didn't start his rookie year, I should say. But when he stepped into the starter's role, he had Chad Ochocinco and TJ Houshmandzadeh, which was a really solid pair of wide receivers.
TJ, who was your mama? That should be me on that right. Every time I scored.
Exactly. So, I mean, he walks. Caleb Williams is, he's got some legit weapons, and they get Romo Odunze. I know we said he's a QB2. I still think he is a QB2. But man, this feels like low end QB1 vibes. Am I crazy?
Yeah, he has upside. Like, I agree. Like, this changes my tune, because I know you guys remember weeks ago when I was like, look, I'm probably off of Caleb Williams, because I know they're not going to get Romo Odunze. There's no way. And they get him, and it's like, okay, now we could see something working in redraft where I can see myself taking him, putting on rosters, and trying to fill him out in some of the weeks. Because like you said, he's still QB2 to me. I don't want to get too crazy and try to push it to the ceilings of where he's a high-end QB1, et cetera, et cetera. But I think I'm with Florio. We're speed demons, man. I'm going with Jaden Daniels here, you know, as my QB1.
All right. I mean, let's take a look at the depth chart right now for the Commanders. Jaden Daniels is the quarterback. A couple of running backs with Austin Eckler and Brian Robinson. You mentioned Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, Olamide Zaccheaus. Look, that's when they're going three wide receivers. That's not a guy we're really looking at. Zach Ertz, who apparently will never die, is there as a tight end spot there in Washington. What we love about Daniels, his rushing ability. We know he can throw the football effectively as well, but it's that rushing ability that we really love with him. Any concerns, Florio, about Daniels playing behind an offensive line that last year was one of the most porous in the NFL? I mean, we spent so much time talking about Sam Howell constantly running for his life. Does that concern you at all for Jaden Daniels this year?
Yeah, it does, because Daniels had a very high pressure to sack rate in college, which is concerning. But I think that's partially why they went out and they got Daniels, because he's not like a pocket passer. Like all of the, like Drake May and JJ McCarthy and Caleb are all athletic and they can use their legs, but nowhere near the level of Jaden Daniels, which maybe that could be partially why they did that, because they're like, hey, our quarterback's going to have to run for their life. Let's get the one who is the fastest and most elusive and could actually be a weapon with his legs. But look, I said when they signed Austin Eckler that I think there was some sneaky value there, because everyone's going to write him off. Man, him running, same thing with Brian Robinson. Like, Daniels running the option with those two, it could be a lot of fun.
No, I think he can operate under chaos. So I think that's where it'll be his weapon, to be able to have the chains moving where he can work off script. And then Terry McLaurin, the football IQ of this dude is amazing. Some of the things that he tried to do that helped Sam Howell when things were kind of under distress. So it's like you get Jaden Daniels that's very creative with his legs, and you'll be able to open up things with the offense. And I'm just hoping that we can get an offense that is well put together where Jahan Dotson can become some type of fantasy relevant week to week.
This feels like bad news though for Austin Eckler, right? Like the targets just don't feel like they're going to be there now with Jaden Daniels at quarterback. Maybe they sort of work some things into the passing game where they have some designed routes and stuff for him, but certainly the opportunity for him to just get dump offs when Daniels gets into trouble feels like that's not really going to happen. I think that's going to take a big, big chunk out of Eckler's potential fantasy production this year. In a situation where we're already sort of nervous about him, I think he takes a huge hit right now.
It's very unfortunate. Three,
yeah, it is. I mean, it's rough right now. At the number three spot, Drake May goes to the New England Patriots. We don't really have to spend a lot of time on this. I mean, let's take a look at it right now, right? You got, May. I'm putting May and Jacoby Brissett. Do we think, Laquan, that Drake May walks into the starting job in week one, or is this a process?
I think he's starting. I mean, just look at the investment they took early in the draft. And I think you kind of know what you're getting with Jacoby Brissett. And I think you bring him in already expecting him to kind of coach along the young rookie talent that's coming in. Like, no way they're going to go out week one with Jacoby Brissett, being that you spent the draft capital on Drake May. You saw the tape, the ability that he has, a little Josh Allen he has in him. Like, I'm ready to watch Josh Allen versus Drake May, you know, the Walmart version of Josh Allen. No, but I just really feel as though
he's Walmart. Walmart. Allen? That's what we're calling him.
Yeah.
Now?
I love that.
Let's stamp that. Yeah, let's stamp that. But I just think that, you know, Drake May, he brings something to the table that they can work with and build off of. It's just a matter of, where are the wide receivers? Like, what are we going to do here really with a KJ Osborne, a Kendrick Bourne that hasn't been much healthy? And I love Pop Douglas, man. DeMario's my guy, the slot guy. I really hope that he'll be able to generate some targets as well and put something together like how Jacoby Myers was. But Hunter Henry, I mean, boring. Like, come on, man. Like, this offense doesn't show any type of fantasy relevance for me for Drake May. And I can't really see myself taking a shot on him.
It's Ramondre. It's Ramondre, and that's it for fantasy in this offense right now.
It may be Antonio Gibson if they want to play him as a wide receiver, but no, it's probably not going to happen.
I mean, look, there's a chance, I guess, Drake May starts in week one. I wouldn't be surprised if they go with Jacoby Brissett just out of the gate, because you're not going anywhere. This offense, there are still two more days of the draft, right? There are definitely things the Patriots can do, but right now, this offense isn't really going to do a whole lot, and this team isn't really going to go much of anywhere. Why start Drake May in this situation and not just go with, you know, go with Brissett, let him sort of learn, let May sort of learn, and try to build some things up around him? I think at some point he starts. I just don't know that he necessarily starts week one.
So, speaking from experience, because, you know, Jared Goff didn't start right away, and we kind of are just like, so why did we trade all these picks for him to sit? And we have poor quarterback play in front of him. Let him go out there and try to figure it out. So we start him when it's raining against the Dolphins. And he has his Kurt Warner gloves on. And it's like, what are we doing? This is a bad way to just enter him into the NFL as a rookie. So I really feel as though that could be a situation where the fan base turns on you, where, you know, you're looking at Drake May sitting on the bench and you're going out there with Jacoby Brissett, which you already know what you have with in play. So it's like, just let him try to swim with the sharks, kind of figure it out how he's going to work with the weapons that he has available to him. That builds character.
I could see Brissett starting a couple weeks, and then, like, by October, Drake May is starting if he's not starting week one. That's what seems to happen a lot of the time. All these teams that we're going to go with the veteran, and then come early October, the rookie has fully taken over. Patriots do have the second pick of day two tomorrow, so we could see them add a pass catcher for Drake May. I think Drake May is very toolsy. For fantasy, it's not happening in year one, at least early in year one, because of the weapons that he has.
Right. Yeah. I mean, even in Dynasty, right? Like, it's going to be maybe a couple of years before you get any real production out of Drake May. I think there's something there. I'm with you, Florio. I think he is toolsy. But I also think that there's just so little around him right now that there's just not much in terms of value that I think you're going to get back.
In Dynasty, I think it's a no question anymore. J.J. McCarthy's the QB3.
Yeah, wow. Absolutely. Right.
I just think because he's playing the situation that he's in, it outside of the Bears is easily the best, I would say.
All right. Interesting question from Vontae Mack, no matter what. Which, by the way, Laquan, you got to go watch Draft Day. You got to go check
it out. Yeah. You mean you haven't in the 8 hours?
The 8 hours since we last talked.
Excited for the Rams party.
But no, Vontae Mack, no matter what, asks, what if the Patriots get Debo or Ayuk? I'm willing to reconsider a little bit.
Me too.
I'm willing to reconsider a little bit.
Changes the tune. Change it. But which one, though? I would rather Ayuk. Because off mic, we were talking a little bit about Debo being kind of banged up like a running back at this point. Like, do you really want Debo?
I think if you get Debo, Debo's probably a little more versatile in terms of what you can ask him to do. But yes, you're right. He has taken a little bit of a beating over the last couple of seasons. But he does sort of give you a little bit more diversity in terms of what they offer in the offense.
Do you think they drafted Pearsall knowing we're trading one of these wide receivers?
I do sort of think that. I mean, right? We'll get to that. Like, we'll definitely get to that. Let's kind of keep it rolling, right? So that's the number three pick. At number four, you get the Arizona Cardinals, where we get the first non-quarterback off the board, and we get Marvin Harrison Jr., the first wide receiver. So I know Kyler Murray was certainly excited about that. I think that was the guy that he sort of wanted. He didn't say a name, but I think we all sort of assumed that that was the guy he wanted in this offense. So he is the obvious replacement for Marquise Brown. I guess if you want to go back a couple of years, a replacement for DeAndre Hopkins. Are we taking Marvin Harrison Jr. as a top 12 wide receiver, Florio?
Top 12 is, like, my initial reaction was like he's easily in the top 20. I'm pulling up rankings right now. So you have Lamb, Hill, Chase, Jefferson, Amon-Ra, A.J. Brown, all comfortably over him. Garrett Wilson, Puka, Devontae. Yeah, he is in the conversation for top 12. I feel more confident saying top 15 because there's a little bit of wiggle room there. But easily in play as a borderline wide receiver one right away. And I know I was the guy saying Malik Nabers is my wide receiver one heading into the draft. This was the best landing spot for any of the elite three wide receivers. He gets a proven quarterback. He gets a ton of targets that are going to go his way. I think he is in play as a top 12, top 15 wide receiver in year one. And Kyler Murray wins the day. Like, he has been a screaming value in Dynasty and in early drafts. And that might be closing, but hey, maybe you could still get him for a discount right now.
I mean, I was going to ask Laquan. I mean, I feel like Kyler Murray is sort of fringe QB1 at this point now that he's got a weapon in Harrison.
Yeah, this just gives him a huge boost. And I'm in a keeper league where I'm keeping him and Trey McBride. So I'm really happy about this move by the Cardinals. I mean, obviously, the best of the best available between the top three and elite. You could have went either way, but don't overthink it, man. Don't get cute here. And as a Rams fan with a very undisciplined secondary, this scares me a little bit when it comes to Sundays versus the Cardinals.
All right, so then we go to number five. The Chargers take Joe Alt. He's the first non-skill position player to go off the board. Our social manager and pal Nolan Gelbard, I think, wanted to smash his head into the desk. He said he wasn't upset about them taking Alt. He was upset about them taking Alt at number five. But we've been saying this for a couple of weeks, that everything the Chargers had done, everything Jim Harbaugh had said, seemed to point in this
direction.
Did
you see his quote?
Offensive linemen are weapons. Yes. Yes. Yep.
Yeah, I love him, man.
So that's at number five. Number six, the Giants. They go with the second wide receiver off the board. They take Malik Nabers from LSU. I know a lot of people thought maybe they were going to take a quarterback. Instead, they don't. They go wide receiver. Look, when I was talking to Matt Harmon, when I was on his podcast a couple of days ago, he sort of wish-casted this. Not because he thought it was going to be particularly special, but he felt like Nabers of the top wide receivers was best built to kind of survive in this offense. Laquan... How are we feel? Like, I know how we all feel about Daniel Jones. So in turn, how do you feel now about Malik Nabers?
I mean, redraft. I'm so disappointed here. I mean, it's with Danny Dimes where they don't even really have a set schedule of his return where we even know he's going to be 100%, you know, going into week one. And this offense is just not attractive. And I mean, their best player has question marks next to him. He just fumbled the bag a couple days ago. So he might need a distraction.
That's why I put the question marks. I'm like, not only did he fumble the bag in his personal life, we don't know if he's going to come back distraction. And play professionally. We're not sure what is happening with Darren Waller, right? So he is currently their starting tight end, but we don't know if that's going to be the case, you know, in a couple months from now.
Like, all we know here, which is a solid fact, two facts here, is that he's going to generate a ton of targets. And the second fact here is that he is a really, really good top tier elite wide receiver in the NFL. It's just that the situation he's in with the Giants, I just don't see myself investing in him on a redraft scale, because it's like, I just don't want to deal with the headaches of every week of trying to deal with the backup quarterback, dealing with a hurt Daniel Jones, et cetera, because plenty of people, you know, were happy with the production they got of Saquon Barkley, but he's a running back. So you can use him out of the backfield as a pass catcher. You can use him on the ground. The wide receivers, they suffered. Wando Robinson had his little 1 week, you know, and then Jalen Hyatt, there's promising, you know, upside with him that we want to really see displayed at a full scale, but they need a quarterback. So I just didn't really understand here why they didn't go and get a quarterback. If you already know, you're moving on from Daniel Jones.
Go ahead.
I agree with everything that Laquan said. That being said, I think the fantasy community as a whole is going to think that way. And it's going to lead to Malik Nabers going, I would say, as a low end wide receiver 3, maybe even like I could see him going in the same range as like Calvin Ridley, Chris Godwin, Jordan Addison. Those are like borderline wide receiver 3s. Sign me up. I'll take the shot on him there. I'll roll the dice because Brian Daboll is I still believe, a very smart offensive-minded coach and will generate a lot of touches for Nabers. And if you're generating touches for him, he is going to put up numbers.
Yeah, I think that's very true. We just would feel better if there was a quarterback that we knew could get him the ball consistently.
Yeah,
Hazelnut here.
It's just the week to week that's bothering me. Like I know we're gonna see
with their third round pick.
Yeah, I know we're gonna see big weeks from Malik Nabers. It's just like it's how much of this is gonna be spreaded out. You know that's
it's
the real issue.
It's really a cost thing now, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right, so that is at the number 6 pick. Number 7, the Titans go with an offensive tackle, J.C. Latham. And then we get to number
Let's
8.
Let's get it weird.
Look, I think Marcel said it right. Kirk Cousins somewhere throwing his chains all over the place. The thing that completely, completely shook up the draft, the Atlanta Falcons decide to go with a quarterback. And they decide to take Michael Penix Jr. This is after they acquire Kirk Cousins and give him a $100 million contract for the next 4 years. This one just blew everybody away. And then on top of it, you get the stories that apparently Kirk Cousins was not informed ahead of time about this, that I guess he got a call while they were on the clock saying, hey, by the way, this is what we're going to do. Look, Penix is not starting this year. Penix is probably not starting next year, barring an injury.
He'll be almost 25.
I know people are making the case that look, if in 2 years, you know, the Falcons can get out of the Cousins contract, and if it's not working or he gets injured, they have a guy that they feel comfortable they can put in there. I mean, I guess you take a swing this year. It just was confusing. It just didn't make sense.
I don't get it. Like, if your approach is, like you said, all right, we're getting our quarterback from the future. We don't expect to have a pick this high the next 2 years with Kirk Cousins, yada, yada, yada. You could have ensured he didn't have a pick that high by getting him some more. You need help on defense. You had your choice of a number of different offensive playmakers there. And like Laquan said, it's not like you took a young quarterback there that can learn. Like, you took a going to be next 24 years old in like 2-week-year-old quarterback. Yeah. I just don't think this was a wise decision.
Like I just don't understand the logic behind it
to me.
We'll
see how it goes.
It's disgusting. I have nothing else to say. Like I'm just like what?
So
remember that Jackie Chan meme? Like what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
it's insane.
That's kind of what we're looking at right there. So that is at number 8. Number 9, Romo Odunze goes to the Chicago Bears. We talked a little bit about that offense and Caleb Williams. I mean, they are absolutely loaded. Any concern, though, Florio, in the short term about what this means for Odunze? Because he is competing with DJ Moore, with Keenan Allen for targets. I think the ceiling, obviously, is very high. But in the short term, it just feels like he's going to have a tough time. It's going to be, to some extent, it's going to be Jaxon Smith and Jigba, right? A little bit like in Seattle this past year.
Perfect. Yeah. Nail on the head.
Yeah, I think Odunze is better than JSN, but yeah, very similar situation. And I think it's one of those things where, like, for redraft, I would take Neighbors over Odunze. But in Dynasty, I could flip it because I know Odunze is tied to a what I believe is a franchise quarterback, and Keenan Allen has maybe a year or two left before they probably move on from him. So long-term, lots of upside. But yeah, this year, it's going to be hard for him to get consistent targets. He will have some really big games where he makes like a long catch or is used in the red zone or something like that. But DJ Moore and Keenan Allen are going to be the top two receivers in terms of snaps and targets as long as they're healthy. Now, when Keenan Allen eventually probably gets hurt, Rome Odunze slides in and has a lot of upside, but I don't see how you can draft him as anything more than like a low end wide receiver three, probably a wide receiver four with upside.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it just seems like it's going to be a tough deal for him. I think in Dynasty, he's got a lot of value, but redraft, it just feels hard to get a lot out of Rome Odunze in 2024. But, you know, shout out to our pal Adam Rank and our pal Haitham Kalani. They had a good night as Bears fans watching what their team did.
They got the job done
in the first round.
Congrats.
They got the job done, no doubt. That's at number 9. So at number 10, the Vikings, they go out and they get their quarterback of the future, presumably. They go and they decide that they are going to draft the one and only J.J. McCarthy. Now, look, I put him in a competition with Sam Darnold. It may not be, but he is certainly the future if he's not the present. I mean, Laquan, how are we feeling about McCarthy? How long until we see him on the field starting for Minnesota?
So this is actually a situation where I think they will slow walk this one, where I think Sam Darnold gets a start on week one, and then it kind of will figure out, you know, once we get to October, it just starts getting colder outside, and they actually start generating some wins, you know, out of Sam Darnold, being that you still have Justin Jefferson, one of the best wide receivers in this league. So I really feel as though JJ might be on the field if Sam Darnold starts to slip, kind of how we saw him when he was the starter for the Panthers, like started off high and then he fell completely off of a cliff. And that's kind of been his MO the last couple, you know, years. So I really see JJ, you know, making an impact this year. Not real redraft, you know, fantasy relevance here for me. Dynasty, you got to be happy that he's in a position where he has one of the best, you know, wide receiver cores that, you know, that Kirk Cousins got replaced with.
I mean, look, yeah, he's got talent there, right? But Florio, I mean, I'm okay with Justin Jefferson. I think he's going to be fine. I worry a little bit about Jordan Addison, and, you know, like I used to be a Sam Darnold truther. I think I've sort of kind of given up on that brand. I don't know that Sam Darnold can adequately support two wide receivers, and I feel like Jordan Addison's going to be the guy left holding the short end of the stick.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm not super high on Jordan Addison. I think he could be better early on because once Hockenson returns, that's another large target share that you have to support. Yeah, I think Sam Darnold might start week one and might play better than I think people are probably giving him credit that he can play for, just because I believe in KOC and those weapons. But I expect them to quickly move to J.J. McCarthy. And I'm with you. I trust Justin Jefferson, but I'm still knocking him. Like last year, he was the unquestioned 1.01. I don't even think he's the top three wide receiver coming into this year. I think he settles in somewhere in the 4 or 5 range in that rank, depending on who you like more between him and Amon-Ra St. Brown. But that might not sound like a lot, but taking someone from wide receiver 1 to 5 is a big downgrade.
Yeah, no, it's a definitely notable downgrade, but he's still probably a first round wide receiver. Yeah. I would think, Laquan, I mean, we're still taking Justin Jefferson, what, mid to late first round, even with the
drop down? If he's there at 4 or 5, I'm still going to take him, man. I mean, it's JJ. You can't really go wrong with a pick like that. And hopefully he can stay healthy. That's really what you're banking on. Cause last season that was a huge hit at the wrong time. You know,
you go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
So that's at number 10. 11, the Jets go with an offensive tackle, Olu Fashanu from Penn State. And then at number 12, we get our sixth quarterback off the board in the first 12 picks of the draft. This one is Bo Nix from the University of Oregon. I put him as a slash with Zach Wilson. I mean, Florio, he's
oh, yeah, I forgot they got
Wilson,
him.
Right? He can start over Zach Wilson. yeah, they got him.
He's better than Jared Stidham too. Okay. I don't love Bo Nix. I don't know who went to his birthday party or anything like that, but I do think he's toolsy, and I wish the Broncos didn't have three different running backs that they heavily targeted last year, because Bo Nix loves throwing screens. Sean Payton loves designing targets for his running backs and his offense. We just need to even get rid of one of them. Just have two guys there and we could live. Three is a little tough to figure out.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, there's still question marks about the weapons there in Denver. I don't know. I mean, do you love any of the receivers? Laquan, Cortland Sutton, did anything for you?
No. The draft is still not done. I mean, we touched on the running backs a little bit. I kind of did like a video last week for Rotoballer, like to have Jalen right there as his Alvin Kamara 2.0, to where we can see, you know, some type of fantasy relevance on this offense that I can feel like I can trust and get the value in. But, you know, like Florio said, Bo Nix is, he's kind of like right now, like he has some of the tools under his belt to be, you know, a serviceable quarterback. I just like that he's with Sean Payton. Sean Payton gets a veteran collegiate, you know, quarterback coming in that's been playing forever, 61 starts. And I really feel as though, you know, it's a good system for him, where, you know, you don't have to worry about a guy coming in, you know, wet behind the ears, you know, coming fresh out of college, being that, you know, some of these guys are coming in the last 2 years where they actually started to hit their stride of being productive, or their very last year in their college year being productive. You know, you don't want a quarterback like that. So Bo Nix, he's a safe player. You know, he does have an arm, like he could throw it long. You know, Troy Franklin was there, you know, able to get separation. Thank God for him. And, you know, I really feel as though the screen game and the long ball with Cortland Sutton, them running backs, it could probably work out for him.
I think so, to some extent. I think Sean Payton will scheme it up and sort of make the best out of what he can for.
It's his pick. He didn't pick Russell.
I saw the tweets, though, about how, you know, apparently he likes him as much as he liked Patrick Mahomes. Like, the talk about how they wanted to draft Mahomes all those years ago. And the Chiefs got up ahead of him, and now that he likes Bo Nix just as much, as he liked Patrick Mahomes. I mean, like, if I'm Bo Nix, I feel confident. That makes me, you know, feel confident that my coach likes me.
Yeah. But
I think the rest of the world's like, nah, man.
I think he could be like what late career, not prime Drew Brees, but remember like late career Drew Brees, where like he was just throwing screens and slants mm-hmm. and like picking up. Yeah, like I could see him coming in and running that offense.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what he ran at Oregon.
Yeah.
Plug and play.
All right. So Nix goes to the Broncos at 12. At number 13, this was another surprise, I think, for a lot of people. The Raiders go with a tight end. They go Brock Bowers, who was the number one tight end off the board. We all knew he was going to go in the first round. That was not a surprise. Going to the Raiders was definitely a surprise, especially because they had Michael Mayer there. What does this do for Brock Bowers' fantasy value, Laquan? Because this is a guy that I was really excited about. Dynasty, redraft leagues, it didn't matter. This feels like a big hit to his fantasy potential going to Las Vegas right now.
It does. It takes us back a little bit. I don't think that, you know, he'll be over there generating a ton of targets like he did in Georgia, because you still have Adams there. You have Jacoby Myers, which is a pretty good slot wide receiver that can also play outside. So it's like, I don't feel like he's in that top five conversation, like how we were talking, where he'll be a lock, where he'll get on the team that's like tight end friendly. I just don't know how this offense is going to operate with three monsters that they have, you know, with Adams, Myers, and Bowers. And I need to see how this is all going to work, you know, before I start dumping into a Brock Bowers share.
I mean, Florio, you watched the Bills last year, and they were trying to make it work with Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox, and it just, for fantasy, it just was sort of unsatisfying for long stretches because those two guys were cannibalizing each other. This feels like it could be that, because I know Michael Mayer didn't have a great rookie season, but this is a guy who is the greatest receiving tight end in Notre Dame football history. That is no small feat. I mean, that is a major accomplishment. Now he's got to share time with Brock Bowers, who had a monster career at Georgia. It just feels like neither one of these guys is going to end up being very satisfying for us this year.
Yeah, and similarly to the Bills, with that two tight end situation, there is an alpha wide receiver one who's going to have a 30% target share in Davante Adams. So you're already looking, and Jacoby Myers will probably be sitting somewhere like 18 to 20% target share. Like, so I do struggle to see, Bowers is not living up to the hype that we thought he had a day ago. Like, he's, like Laquan said, I don't think he's top five. I am comfortable putting at least 9 tight ends ahead of him right now, and then I think we start having the Bowers conversation. Like, I'd rather Njoku. Personally, I'd rather Ingram, Kittle, Pitts, and those are names that I know, Kincaid, that were all like in the same grouping as Bowers. And then the flip side of it is Michael Mayer was one of my favorite tight end sleepers coming in. I thought at least was going to be coming into next season. And now you kind of pour one out for him, because even as much as I like him, I think Bowers will get more targets than Mayer, just because they knew what they had in Mayer and they still use this pick on Bowers. But we're talking about comparing it to the Bills situation. That was on a pass first offense with Josh Allen. This is going to be on a run first offense with Gardner Minshew. It's going to be hard to sustain these many options.
Yeah, that's true. Ganja Joe 89 had the question. You know, I'm a Raiders fan. I see a lot of fellow fans confused about the Bowers pick. Realistically, what could the Raiders have done at their position? I mean, look, they could still use help on the offensive line. I know, you know, offensive tackle is a place of need for them. There were still a lot of tackles out there. They could use some help in the secondary. You know, I think what the Raiders wanted to do, I think they were hoping that Michael Penix would still be around and maybe they could make a move at him. And the Falcons taking Penix at 8 just blew that whole thing up. I don't know how much interest they had in Bo Nix. Nix goes one pick ahead of them, so I don't know if there was really any serious interest there. But I think you could still take a tackle at 13. You could have maybe traded back if you really want a defensive back. But Quinyon Mitchell didn't go for several more picks. I think they had options.
I was about to say, just corner.
It just baffled me.
not like a corner made sense. I also kind of wanted them to go after like Turner or Ladu and just pair them with Wilkins and Max Crosby and be like, you want to beat us? You got to go through this D-line.
Well, and especially when you have to deal with the Chiefs twice a year, right? Why not pair it? Why not get that front line with your Max Crosby and Wilkins and put like Laiatu Latu there and just like, Patrick Mahomes, we are coming after you all day, two times a year. Get ready for it. Like,
so there's your answer.
Yeah. I think of more than a few teams who would have gladly signed up for the Raiders to have that D-line running after Mahomes.
Yeah
exactly. So after Bowers at 13, we get Talisi Fuaga at 14. Then at 15, we get our first defensive player. We went 14 picks without a defensive player being selected. That was a record, and it is Laiatu Latu out of UCLA, who was just a monster
this past year
for the Bruins. Then we kind of get a little bit of a defensive player run. We get Byron Murphy at 16 to the Seahawks. We get Dallas Turner, the edge rusher, to the Vikings at 17. Pretty good first round for Minnesota. They get their quarterback of the future, and they get a solid pass rusher as well. So pretty good start to their draft there. Amarius Mims, the tackle from Georgia, goes at number 18. And then the Rams. Apparently, the Rams don't often make a first-round pick, but when they do, they draft a guy named Jared. Their last first-round pick was Jared Goff. This time, the first-round pick is Jared Verse, the edge rusher from Florida State. Look, Laquan, you're not replacing Aaron Donald with one guy, but they did get a guy. They get a guy that can get after the quarterback. I'm not. This is not me making fun of the pick at all. This is not me knocking it. They are doing their best to try and fill what is an enormous gap on that defensive line after Aaron Donald's retirement. That's all.
Yeah, you're going to need more than one body to try to replace Aaron Donald's production. The dude is an NFL legend, Hall of Famer, without a doubt. But I love the pick here for Jared Verse. I mean, Dallas Turner's off the board, so I was like, all right, he's out of the way. We have to get Verse here, and that's exactly what we did. We didn't overthink it. We didn't go back in the draft, do anything weird like that. We got a dog in the trenches, man. This dude has rare length. The dude is a dog in the trenches where he's so physical to where I could see Kobe Turner putting up 8.5 sacks. I can see Jared Verse putting up 9-10 sacks. And then you still have Byron Young, who was so disruptive. Like, he's not finishing on the sacks, but he is causing so much chaos where you have to watch him. There were so many games where you're watching Aaron Donald and then Byron Young on the same side. It's like, the QB just immediately like, all right, audible, audible. Like they don't know what to do. And I really feel like when you get these three together, these young, talented guys, they're going to be very disruptive. So I'm excited for the Rams pass rush.
I'm just surprised you're not up in the Rams house in Malibu right now.
Right?
It's in Hermosa. It was right up the block.
Oh, that's the beach, right?
Right on, right on the water, man.
Yeah, the house was at Hermosa.
Oh, the house is there?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Puka pulled up. It was dope, bro.
You didn't talk to Puka?
No. I probably would have ran up on him and security would have tackled me, bro.
So we got Jared Verse at 19 at 20. Troy Fautanu from Washington goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Chop Robinson, the edge rusher from Penn State, goes to the Dolphins at 21. Get our first corner off the board. That's Quinyon Mitchell to the Eagles at number 22. And then back to the wide receivers at the number 23 spot. The Jacksonville Jaguars go with Brian Thomas Jr. out of Louisiana State University, more commonly known as LSU. The second of the two LSU wide receivers to go. My first thought, Florio, is that it's just really crowded at wide receiver there. Somebody's going to be the odd man out. Maybe it's Zay Jones. There's just a lot of guys there that Trevor Lawrence has to throw to. It's great for Trevor Lawrence. Feels bad for us.
Yeah. I still believe Christian Kirk and Evan Engram are going to be the clear cut top two targets. So everyone else will be fighting for scraps there. And I could see Brian Thomas playing outside opposite of Gabe Davis, probably filling in that Calvin Ridley role a little bit. I would anticipate that Zay Jones is the odd man out, but really good depth for them to have there. I know everyone has Brian Thomas as their wide receiver 4 coming into the night. I had him a little bit lower than that. Big wide receiver, lots of speed, can win downfield. I do think he needs some polishing, though, overall. And ironically, so I comped him to Christian Watson and Martavis Bryant. But I wrote, ironically, that I could see him having a long career playing that Gabe Davis type role. And yeah. Now he's teammates with Gabe Davis.
I mean, same it's just thing, a weird, but different. It's a weird pairing, though, because they gave Gabe Davis, I mean, it's not super big money, but decent sized money that they're going to want to use him, right? They're not just going to push him aside for Brian Thomas. It just feels like Zay Jones is going to sort of be the odd man out. Everybody's saying that right now, you know, it looks like he's going to replace Calvin Ridley. I guess ostensibly that is sort of the move right there. But let's remember, Calvin Ridley was pretty volatile too last year. So I don't know. Toronto Dave making the point. Evan Engram, a target machine. Engram and Kirk, the top two targets there. And I guess everybody else sort of fighting for I won't say scraps, but for whatever's left over, you know, in this offense.
Yeah, it's definitely scraps.
I mean, I don't know what else. I don't know how else to describe it. It just, you know, it feels just like an embarrassment of riches at the position. And maybe this is like, hey, Gabe Davis, you're here for a couple of years. And then when we're, you know, we've had enough of you, you move on. Brian Thomas slides in. I guess that's the only way I can.
Or they're willing to take on the project. They're willing to take on the project to try to polish him up to be a little bit more better and more lethal at the route tree. And we know that he is one of the best deep threats that has the wingspan, the length, the speed, and he's kind of physical once he makes that play, you know, that long ball. And I really feel as though we're underestimating of how good he is downfield. So I really feel as though Gabe Davis will still have his role, but maybe they're going to try to have Brian Thomas work a different way where Zay Jones does end up being the odd man out.
Do we feel any better about Trevor Lawrence this year, Florio?
I was going to ask. I mean, I know last year,
like last year, I know you and I were both in on Trevor Lawrence, right? And it just never panned out. Does this make us feel any better, or is it just that he kind of is who he is right now?
You will have to ask me in August once we get OTAs, training camp, and more figured out what roles will be, because it's still a little confusing of what's going on with this wide receiver room.
Yeah. Yeah, all right, that's fair. Terrion Arnold goes to the Lions at number 24, the cornerback from Alabama. So the Lions continuing to
love that dude
through the draft. He was a lot of fun, and he got those folks in Detroit fired up, man. It was a good night for the folks in Detroit, without a doubt. Jordan Morgan, the tackle from Arizona, goes to the Packers at number 25. I don't think Packer Nation really liked that pick. If you judge by fans in the stands there. In the crowd there in Detroit, people didn't seem to be all that excited about it. Graham Barton, the center from Duke, goes to the Buccaneers at 26. So they're trying to build that offensive line, which is a poor run blocking offensive line last year. So maybe this means good things for like Rashad White and the rest of that Buccaneers run game there. The Cardinals go to the defensive end, Darius Robinson from Missouri. Then the Buffalo Bills.
I was so excited at this point. And the two wide receivers I wanted were there. I was pumped.
Mm-hmm. And instead, they trade back. And they trade with the Kansas City Chiefs. And the Kansas City Chiefs take a wide receiver. And the Kansas City Chiefs take Xavier Worthy, the speedster, out of the University of Texas. The guy who blew everybody away with his 40-yard dash time. Right now, Toronto Dave is you, Florio, going to the Chiefs instead of the Bills, a dagger straight through my delicate heart.
I felt that.
I was gonna say your thoughts when you saw this whole thing go down.
So we could talk about, I guess, the Bill, like they traded down twice. We'll get to the second one. I don't think trading down was a bad move by the Bills. I think it was smart because they now have a lot of assets to go after potentially one of the 49ers wide receivers or T. Higgins, and Ladd McConkey and Adonai Mitchell are there as fallbacks. Where my fear comes in is the last time the Bills were on the clock and traded a pick to the Chiefs, it became the greatest player walking the planet and the thorn in the side that the Bills cannot get over. But for Xavier Worthy, I really like him. I thought he was a top five wide receiver coming into this draft class. I know he's small, but speed for days, we all know that. He's very good after the catch. He's good hands. He reminds me of Jahmyr Gibbs in the sense of he's a lot more physical than he gets credit for, and people are going to say he plays small and his size will hold him back, but then you watch him play and you're like, does it? And I know in college he wasn't much of a field stretcher. I'm blaming that on quarterback play. And coming into the draft, I was like, pair him with a strong arm quarterback like Allen, Mahomes, Dak, or Anthony Richardson, and watch out. And that's exactly where he went. And I think Worthy, you'll probably draft him as like a bench wide receiver, but he has the upside to be an every week starter for you, like Rashee Rice underwent the transition he underwent last year. That, taking it even a step further, though, Patrick Mahomes is once again back in play as the overall QB1 because the last 2 years without Tyreek Hill, they've been based on yak, and there was no one to really stretch the field. Now you have two guys who could potentially stretch the field in Worthy and Marquise Brown. You have three or four options that could win after the catch, and some of them being elite. This Chiefs offense, I think, can look as close to, if I think it's possible that this Chiefs offense could be the best that we've seen it, or the closest to the level with Tyreek Hill. And yeah, Mahomes is a big winner in this, I think.
Mahomes is a big winner, obviously. I mean, Laquan, does this put Travis Kelce back atop the tight end rankings? Because now you've got two guys to stretch the field, which gives him a whole lot more room to operate. I know people love Laporta. I love Sam Laporta too. Yeah. Does this put Travis Kelce back on top of the tight end heap?
No. I'm still going to stick with Laporta. Oh. I think he's right there at two. He's right there at two. I mean, you can't go wrong with one or two. You can't really argue with people about number one and number two. I really feel as though you go with Laporta, you're good. You go with Kelce. You have more backing and insurance with this investment, being that they got two guys that can stretch the field. You got Worthy. You got Marquise Brown. You have Rice there. So you have more weapons than you had on the field last season. You probably feel a little bit more better going off the board with Travis Kelce see this year around, but I really think Laporta still won in my heart.
All right. So we're still going with Sudden Sam Laporta. That's fine.
I just want to, the Falcons GM said if Michael Penix doesn't play for 4 or 5 years, that's a good problem to have. He would be 30.
Oh, that's it.
I just saw that quote on Twitter and it blew my mind.
I mean, you spent the number 8 pick on a guy, and yeah, I don't, if I'm a Falcons fan, I'm
I don't
know. Driving. I'm walking into traffic right now. I don't know. Yeah.
Atlanta's on fire right now.
Man. All right. So Xavier Worthy goes number 28 to the Chiefs, number 29 to the Cowboys. Tyler Guyton, the offensive tackle from Oklahoma. Nate Wiggins, corner from Clemson, goes number 30 to the Baltimore Ravens. Number 31, the 49ers were on the board. And the original reports were that they were taking Cooper DeJean, the cornerback from Iowa, which I would have been cool with. They could use help in the secondary for sure. Like, that would have been an okay move. But it turns out that was not the case. Instead, the 49ers drafted Ricky Pearsall, the wide receiver from Florida. And my first thought is this means one of either Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel is going to be traded. Now, the reports now at the end of the night where that team seemed to be more interested in Deebo than in Ayuk. Maybe it's the idea of looking at the contract and having to pay Ayuk down the road. I'm not sure, but it does feel very much like one of these guys is not going to be there this year. You liked Pearsall, didn't you, Florio? Were you going to like Pearsall?
Yeah, and I know Matt Harmon from the show, he was on the podcast yesterday. I know he likes him a lot as well. But yeah, I comped him to Adam Thielen, and he's very versatile. He could play in the slot. He could play out wide. He could get open deep. He could open short. He could win after the catch. He's got good hands. The only thing he can't do, I think, is be an X and like handle physical play. That's my one concern for him. But you put a weapon, like a versatile weapon like this with Kyle Shanahan, whew, he's cooking with fire. Sorry, Laquan.
I'm not scared whatsoever. I mean, look, I love Pretty Ricky because the route running on him is crisp, it's sharp. And listen, you got. I really feel as though, man, if you do pull the trigger, I mean, you got to let Deebo go. I really feel as though you have two great route runners on this offense, and like Florio said, he can't play the X, but he could play everywhere else. We've seen the catches. The dude can catch some crazy balls where he has that ain't no way he just caught that. And he did, and he's still running. So those are one of the qualities that he brings to the table for this offense. And this will be the last time I'll be talking in any positive light about a 49ers team.
I will say this, that like as a fan, this is where I have to sort of like, you know, take it off and be objective and look like from a team building and a contract, you know, a roster standpoint, moving either Debo or Ayuk, it does make a lot of sense. I will say as a fan, losing Debo especially, it would just hurt. It would just hurt on a personal level, right? For all the things that he has done for this team and all the big plays he has made and how much he has meant to this team, the idea of losing Debo, just it hurts. It hits you right here. But it does make sense, especially if they can get a decent return back for him, you know, get some draft picks and that sort of thing. It is definitely a smart move there. So that's at 31. It looked like the Bills are going to be on the clock again at 32, but surprise, they trade back to the top of the second round. And instead, it's the Carolina Panthers on the board, and they take a wide receiver. They go and they draft Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina. Speaking of Debo, they take a guy from Debo's alma mater, South Carolina. Leggett, how do you feel? Because, like, again, Florio, the Bills seem to be in a market for a wide receiver. They trade out twice. Is there any... Yeah, I mean, how are you feeling watching both Worthy and Leggett go off the board before your team makes a pick?
I was much more sad to see Worthy go than Leggett. And maybe I'll regret that, and maybe I could be wrong on this, because Leggett, Wade adjusted one of the best 40 times ever. Huge body, big catch radius, could stretch the field, good run blocker. I kind of call him like the human eraser, because your quarterback could make a bad throw and he's big enough where he could still go and get that ball. And just erase mistakes like that. But I do think he is a little like he needs help on his route running. He's not the best yards after catch type of receiver. I know I kind of keep saying this, but one, I actually comped him to Gabe Davis. Like I not only say he could play that role, like I was like, I think he's kind of like Gabe Davis, just with more upside. But he has a lot of upside, and is the best wide receiver on the Panthers outside of Deontay Johnson probably right away. But that Bryce Young low key is a winner of the draft, I think, because Now you have Leggett, Deontay, and Adam Thielen. Plus they added some offensive linemen during free agency. Like I know I keep saying this as well, but like I think it's possible in a couple of years we look at Bryce Young's rookie year very similar to how we look at Trevor Lawrence's, where we're like, what was he supposed to do in that situation?
Yeah, I mean, I think we look at it like that now. I mean, they traded away so many assets to move up and get Bryce Young. They didn't have anything to build around him. But I will give them credit. It's Laquan. They've gone out and they have brought pieces in. They go and they get Deontay Johnson. They draft Xavier Leggett. I mean, you know, ultimately, we don't know at this moment how those guys are going to perform. But they have at least made the effort to put guys around their potential franchise quarterback to see what happens. I think that alone makes Bryce Young a little bit of a winner tonight.
Yeah, he definitely comes out on a winner in this situation. I said in free agency, once they started adding to that O-line, like, okay. Because the real problem, like, with the Panthers, like, I would say number one priority problem was the O-line. Like, he was getting blasted every single play. So you're not dealing with, you know, the speed wide receivers. Nobody was able to get open. So it's kind of like, all right, what are we really expecting him to do with the ball in his hands instead of, you know, running for his life, trying to extend plays that aren't really there? So I think he comes out as a big winner here. He does, you know, get set up with some weapons. You get Deontay Johnson that's able to not play that X role. He gets to play that Z where you can move around the offense, get motion out of him. Then you can have Leggett just playing that X, just being the big physical wide receiver he is, not asking too much of him, because there was times, you know, we were seeing him doing jet sweeps and, you know, running across the motion. I didn't really like seeing him do that because it didn't really be effective or much of like a pop from it. So I think this offense is well built right now. They could still add more pieces. I really feel as though, you know, it's a lot better than what it was last year. So Bryce Young should have a decent, you know, fantasy outing.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely going to be better than it was last year. There are more pieces around him to help. So I think that part is definitely trending upward. We'll see how much it's trending upward. We will find out. But so that leaves, look, there's still a lot of really talented guys on the board. I mean, obviously, this is just night one. There are two more days of the draft. A quick look at some of the best available remaining. This is according to Daniel Jeremiah's top 150 list. Just one quarterback remaining. Six go in the first round. Six go in the first 12 picks. I don't think anybody saw that coming. No. Spencer Rattler, the one QB left from DJ's board there. A slew of running backs. No surprise. No running backs who go in the first round. So I would expect we're going to see a couple tomorrow. Probably a lot more on day three. And then a lot of wide receivers, I should say. A.D. Mitchell, Ladd McConkey among the top guys there. Jalen Polk, Troy Franklin, some of the other interesting names that are hanging out there. Jermaine Burton, we will see. I mean, I know we talked about that, and the off-field issues are probably going to hinder his draft potential. But in terms of just straight-up talent, there's no real argument about what that is. And then tight ends, just the one going off the board tonight, that was Brock Bowers. Some interesting names there. Ben Sinnott, a guy that I think a lot of people, especially in the fantasy space, like. Jatavion Sanders, I think people are sort of mixed on right now, but those are some of the names that are still hanging out there at this point, and we will definitely see these names come off the board in the next couple of days. Real quick before we get out of here, you guys each have like a big winner, a big loser for tonight. Florio, I'll start with you.
I think let's start with Laquan.
Okay. Big winner is definitely the Viking. Vikings. Okay. Vikings are the big winners here. They made some good moves, and they still came out with their quarterback, and they got one of the top pass rushers, which they desperately needed to add to. So I'm happy for them what they were able to pull off with those two first-round picks.
Yeah, they're probably the biggest winner team-wise of the night. I think from a individual player, Xavier Worthy, probably the biggest winner for me, I would say, because we all kind of expected Marvin Harrison Jr. to go to the Cardinals. And I think outside of that, the Chiefs are the best landing spot that anyone fell in, and especially a player with Worthy's skill set. He's just a perfect fit for that.
I'm gonna say one of my big winners. I think the Bears, obviously big winners by getting Caleb and Romo Odunze in the top 10. I think Patrick Mahomes, we talked about, a huge winner, which is wild to say for the guy who is the baddest man on the planet right now in the NFL. He's a big winner. The rest of the NFL is just like, damn you, Buffalo. Why did you do this to us? My big loser for the night, especially fantasy wise, is probably Justin Herbert, man. Like, he has been taking L's left and right all offseason long, and they go out and they get Joe Alt. Look, I get it, man. Like, you need offensive line play. Like, that is important. But everything about this offseason says Justin Herbert's going to be kind of de-emphasized in the offense. I mean, I'm curious to see if they go with a wide receiver somewhere in the next day or so, next couple of rounds. But, Justin Herbert was a guy that we were, like, drafting as a top, 6-7 quarterback? Like, that's done, at least for the time being.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. So, gives me the chills.
Man. anybody else that you feel like took a big L tonight, Laquan?
Oh, a couple. I mean, Malik Nabers, I'll put up there. I don't like the landing spot. I can't imagine him being the happiest, but there goes that.
Michael Mayer took an L tonight, too.
Michael Mayer,
Old Raiders tight ends, I think, were big losers.
Yeah, that's really unfortunate for Bowers, honestly. I mean, the more we're looking at it and the more I'm trying to, like, picture in my head how this actually might look, that's such a huge blow.
I think Kirk Cousins, I mean, not fantasy-wise, but just from personal-wise. Went to this new team and already you're having sour feelings. I wouldn't say a loser, but I was very hopeful that the Colts came out of the first round with a new weapon for Anthony Richardson. And I understand why they went defense and they took the number one defensive player on the board, but I was still hoping that I thought they were a sneaky team to potentially move up and get a Odunze or maybe grab like Brian Thomas or whoever they liked as the wide receiver 4 at 15. But I get why they didn't, but I was hopeful they would.
Yeah, no, I get it. I definitely get that. So Anyway, that's pretty much puts a bow on night one. The first six picks, everything was like sort of chalky and everybody's like, this is kind of dull. And then stuff started popping off, especially when we got to eight and the Falcons took Michael Penix. And from then it was kind of a wild ride through the end of the night. So day two will get going 7 o'clock Eastern. You can check that out on NFL Network. We'll be back with you next week. To kind of wrap this up on the podcast, we will have the whole weekend's worth of stuff to kind of dive into and talk about and figure out how things are going to go. And then we could turn our attention to actually putting together rankings and rosters and all that kind of stuff. And, of course, we'll be back with you next Thursday for the cheat sheet as well. Thanks to everybody who jumped in tonight and hung out with us. We certainly appreciate everybody for doing all of that. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us for these cheat sheet live streams and that sort of thing all off season long. We'll keep doing them, certainly throughout the off season. And who knows, maybe depending on how the overlords set up our schedules, maybe we can do them in season two. Who knows? But this has been a whole lot of fun. So that'll do it for this edition of the Fantasy Cheat Sheet, the special edition, wrapping up round one of the draft. For Laquan Jones, for Michael F. Florio, I am Marcus Grant. Thank you for everybody for hanging out with us. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the rest of the NFL draft, everybody. We'll talk to you again next week.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.